We're here.
Hi, we're here. You are listening to the voice of Vashon, and you're listening to The Clatch. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I will be your host today. And with me in the studio today are Susan McCabe and Chris Austin. Welcome, Chris.
Well, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
And Susan.
Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine.
You know, we have a lot to talk about today, and I think we'll just jump right into it.
I don't know how we're going to do all this in 1 hour, but
well, I don't either, but
stay with us, folks.
We're going to give it the good try. So first I'd like to know, how are you doing? How are you doing, Chris? What you been thinking about
I've
this
been,
week?
Okay. My endeavor to become rich and famous is off to a mediocre start with my new Substack, which is Worldwide Global News.
I'm so excited to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
It's a satire, funny blog, news, faux news. It is fake news.
Yes, be sure that you make that disclaimer.
Yes.
Because, you know, there are people who will believe that. Whatever you say.
Well, whatever Chris says, I believe. I always believe Chris.
Well, it's probably not a good, wise choice.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. It's been a lot of fun, and it's just putting content out there every week and trying to get people to get eyes on it. And
we have just discovered that we are doing the same thing. I, too, have a Substack blog, if you will. It's called Hot Flashes, Cold Showers. And I've been doing that every week since September 1st.
Oh, really? Good
every
for you.
Friday, right? Yeah.
Every Friday.
Yeah, it comes out.
It's under the title Hot Flashes, Cold Showers. Did I say that?
Yes, you did. It's Hot Flashes, Cold Showers in Substack. It's very good.
Yes.
So how did you decide when to put it out?
You mean what day of the week?
Yeah.
It wasn't really strategic.
Oh, okay.
It was like, okay, well, that's the end of the week, and that gives me a whole week to try and come up with something else. That's kind of how it works.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
Well, and I think that might be the day of the week that people are a little more relaxed online.
Okay.
Oh, maybe so. Yeah. Oh, let me see what's going
on
over here.
Heading for the weekend. Yeah. A lot of people don't work on Friday.
Yeah.
Monday morning would be a bad time.
A friend tell me 7 o'clock a.m. On Thursday.
Oh.
Because it's 7 a.m. in the, you know, West Coast. It's 10 a.m. in the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody's at work and maybe they can see it. And like you say, it's week is winding
down.
And
it's almost Friday.
Yeah.
Well, Susan, what have you been thinking about?
Well, everything.
Yeah.
Yes, as I told you earlier, I woke up this morning thinking about all the things there are to worry about.
Oh. Well,
it's just an hour. I have a list. Yeah, it's just an hour. It starts with the climate crisis.
Okay.
All these things that are weighing on us. Drought, wildfires, drying up bodies of water, species going extinct. Then there's the Ukraine war. Its escalation of fossil fuel usage and its potential for bringing us to global nuclear world war with China and Russia and the U.S. and the rest of the world. Then, of course, there are the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria and all the people who are suffering there. She laughs. See, you laugh.
I don't mean to. I'm sorry.
And there are the threats to our democracy and the growth of autocracy worldwide. And let us not forget racism.
Yeah.
Systemic racism in this country. So I think about all of these things. I woke up with all of these things rolling through my head this morning, and I didn't want to get out of bed. But you know what? I think it's done. I think COVID has exacerbated our reaction to all that's going on, and we feel alone because, you know, we've otherized one another so much politically, and then social distance and masks and, gosh, I'm afraid you're going to make me sick if I hug you.
Right.
And I really miss social contact. I miss going to movie theaters and going to live music. And
sort of and the elbow to elbow kind of thing. And
The stuff where we actually share something meaningful with a group of people who we're not necessarily married to or parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember early in the pandemic, I saw you in a parking lot, and you said, CYH.
Consider yourself hugged. Yes, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. I remember that, too.
Yeah.
But today we had a big hug. That was really nice.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah.
Aren't we brave?
I got two. You guys just got one. I got two.
That's true. Well, you know, on that note, with regard to COVID, first of all, I want to acknowledge those things you're thinking about because they're very dear to all of us. And we wake up in the morning sometimes with the weight that just W-E-I-G-H-T, that sits there heavily on our chest or on our back or wherever. And I think it's an important time to remember to take care of ourselves because we worry so much about what's going on in the world. And, you know, the adage of you can't take care of anybody if you don't take care of yourself. And sometimes I like to take a whole day, and if I can stretch it, 2 days with no news, no nothing. And it's really hard.
It is.
But at the end of the day, it feels like freedom. It's different if you just don't listen to anything for a whole day. And try that.
I have tried that, and I'm so addicted.
I know.
I can last part of the day. But I am going on a 10-day meditation retreat where they won't allow me
really
to do anything. Yes.
Yeah. That'll be fabulous.
Like a state ordered thing? Or
no? She's going to the movie bin.
Bars, yeah. No, this is Vipassana, which is a meditation technique that is non-denominational. And you basically you go and you meditate all day long. You have no phones, nothing to read, nothing to listen to. You may not make eye contact with other people.
What?
You get to know people by their shoes.
Wow.
And you make
Have you done this before?
Yes.
I thought you had.
Once before.
Yeah.
Twice before.
Well, good for you.
Well, you know, they just recently chose the next Yoga Olympic city. Did you know that?
No.
No, what's that?
It's Lexington, Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't
the
know
locals
there was
call it Flexington.
Flexington.
You know, if you go to Worldwide Global News, you can get the article.
Okay. Thank you. That research you do is really incredible.
And I was waiting for the punchline.
Yeah. Well, I have talking about COVID and the effect that it's had on us, I have a little personal story I wanted to share with you. My daughter-in-law, Angela, who is really a dear, lovely woman, married to my son, and they live in Seattle. Well, actually, Des Moines, as they say it here. Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Yeah. Anyway, she at the beginning of COVID was very hesitant about the vaccine. I couldn't for the life of me figure out why, because science says this and science says that. And it sort of became an issue in my family, as you can imagine. I mean, it was difficult to have only one of us who wasn't vaccinated. And how do you do your that was awful. And so last weekend I went over to visit with them and I've been visiting with them and, you know, we just respect each other's space and listen
and
to
your
each other.
Son, her husband is vaccinated.
Yes.
And he lives with her.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, anyway, we were sitting at the kitchen table Sunday morning having coffee and I don't remember how this happened, but we started talking about the fact that I was vaccinated and she wasn't and that I'm a vehement believer in the vaccination and that I kind of have been looking down my nose at people who aren't vaccinated. Well, come to find out, without divulging details, I'm not going to tell any secrets, but Angela talked to me in a very soft, convincing, and intellectual way about why she felt the way that she felt. I talked with her in the same tone. What I was noticing when we were in the conversation was, man, this is a tricky, tricky subject. But there was no tricky. We both were listening, and I think that's what changed. We listened. Nobody interrupted. She didn't interrupt me. I didn't interrupt her. There wasn't a, well, but did you think about this? Well, what about that? And how come you? And none of that, none of it. She told her story to me. I told my story to her. She said she fully supports vaccination for people who want to have it. And she consulted with her MD because she didn't know. And her MD told her not to do it because of some other things. So I was sorry I didn't know that 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that. But we were so polarized over that issue that it didn't even come up. We didn't talk about it. After the initial, oh my God, she's not vaccinated, we never brought it up again.
And there you are, a microcosm for our culture, our country, as it is right now.
You didn't In the polarization.
Talk, yes, yeah. You didn't talk about yeah. it. We don't talk to each other about it. And you're also a microcosm for what it could be in that conversation that you had.
Yeah, if people will listen. It's the listening thing. I really believe it's the listening thing. And I have nothing but admiration for her. And she has taken a lot of abuse with regard to not being vaccinated. Okay. She got fired from her job.
Really?
Whoa!
First they isolated her and put her down, you know, and she was asked to leave. And she's pretty sure that's why. Nobody would tell her, really, because you don't have to. But the good news about that is she got a better job and she's happier now. So,
okay, well,
so,
good.
You know, that's good. But she has endured a lot because she wasn't vaccinated. And so while I don't think, I don't agree with her, but who am I to disagree with her doctor?
Hmm. You know? Well, that...
When he knows her physical condition, he knows what she's facing. He knows.
Well, what if she had very calmly explained to you she had other reasons for not getting vaccinated and they were not medical? So you were disagreeing with her, and her doctor wasn't part of it. It was just her. What would you have a different position?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you be looking down your nose at her?
Yeah.
So that blows the whole coming to a common understanding.
No, it doesn't. Thing. I think it supports it. I mean, you still have so many people out there who don't do it because so-and-so said not to, or yeah. because I'm part yeah. of this crowd, or, uh-huh. you know, all of that. But I think, I don't know, people talk about their personal freedom and that kind of thing with regard to getting vaccinated, and nobody should be able to tell me what to do. But I don't know how I would react. Let me just say that. I don't know.
Well, you know, for people that don't go to the science, mm-hmm. I say you use science in every facet of your life every day.
Anyway,
what you eat, right. what you clothes you wear, what you drive, when you mm-hmm. fly. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this science you have an opinion about, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you're an expert in mm-hmm. it and can make these decisions.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So I just was really heartened. I was just yeah. really heartened by the outcome and
right.
the ability, the proven ability. That you can talk about these things. So that's, you know, that's well, my
and
little...
And I think we might be talking about two different things, too.
I think
because,
also...
Go
your
ahead.
I'm sorry, your previous relationship, I mean, you know, you've known each other for a long time.
Right.
It's not somebody you're meeting on the street.
And it's someone I care deeply for. I care deeply
yeah,
for her.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
If we could just care for one another. I mean, there's the two parts of this yeah. discussion, as I see it, are... How to have a civil disagreement, mm-hmm. and then there's COVID, and the opinion, the science of vaccination mm-hmm. or not. Mm-hmm. And I love your analogy, Chris. Yeah, how you know do you trust the science when you get into an airplane? Would you want that to be a debate before you got into an airplane?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Well, this pilot didn't take that part of the class, but you're going to get in the plane with him anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know.
Yeah, it's just a personal anecdote I wanted to share.
Yeah, well, I think it's really interesting.
It's interesting, and it fills my heart. You know, we're on the last day of Black History Month.
That is true.
And I just have a couple things I'd like to talk about with regard to... Okay, well, something is, how about the hidden history of the first Black women to serve in the U.S. Navy?
Really?
Yeah. You know, there were 14 Black women who were the first to serve in the U.S. Navy. And an historian recently went into this whole thing to find out who they were and what they did. And they were called the Golden 14. And there were 14 Black women who were the first Black women. They had their own
unit or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And they worked as yeomen, and they were tasked with handling administrative and clerical work. They had access to official military records. At the time, Black men who enlisted in the Navy could only work as messmen, stewards, or in the engine room. So these women were elevated from the menial labor kinds of things, and they sort of paved the way for women in general. And I'm trying to
What year was that?
Yeah, I'm trying to find out.
I think it was 1917.
17, or, yeah. Right? It was World War I kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. And in
before
the
women even had the vote.
No, not until 19. Well, vote in the U.S. anyway.
Right.
1920.
Right.
And then there are the professor who's doing the research on this said he just discovered some documents in research and he had to look at them.
Wow.
There was nothing known about these women. And now he's writing about them. And he has a manuscript ready. So I just think that's pretty exciting that we didn't know that.
Yeah.
And now we do.
Well, you know, I was reading about the history of Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
And it began in 1926 as Black History Week. And they chose the week that Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass were born in.
Ah.
As that
oh,
was
really?
Two seminal people in their history.
Right.
But one thing that's interesting, we always think of Lincoln as, you know, Emancipation Proclamation. Mm-hmm. Well, what a lot of people don't realize is there were four states that were slave states that did not secede, and those slaves are not freed.
Today?
No, the Emancipation Proclamation did not cover those four states. So there was 500,000 slaves in the U.S. that were not freed from that proclamation. It only applied to the states that seceded.
Do you remember what four states?
Wow.
Maryland, Delaware, Kentucky, and Missouri. They didn't secede, but they also were slave states.
Did they continue slavery? I mean,
as part of
their economy?
They did. I think 65 or 66. It wasn't until after the war that they... And what was interesting is the proclamation said, this is 63, this is halfway through the war, you'll be free permanently if you escape your enslaver, either going through Union lines or the Union Army taking over where you live, and then you'll become permanently free. So part of it was a military a reason.
Policy or?
Because everybody that ran away from their plantation to the Union lines, that was less labor on the farm. That was more soldiers trying to track them down that couldn't be fighting the Union Army.
Sure.
So it was military policy.
Wow.
As well as, you know, doing the right thing. But, yeah, a lot of people just think everybody was free. But there wasn't. That wasn't the case.
That's really interesting. I did not know that. And the reason I said today, like, so surprised, I know, you know, that because some of the laws from back then are still in the books.
Isn't that so true, though? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I meant by today.
And you might be right. Who knows?
Yeah,
you know,
who
buried
knows?
Buried in the state
I know.
Constitutions and things like that.
Yeah. I found another little interesting tidbit about Atlanta, Georgia. There's a small brick building just a few blocks from King Center in Atlanta's Sweet Auburn district. And it used to be, the storefront was home to one of the last licensed Madam C.J. Walker's beauty salon in Atlanta. And before that, it was the home of WERD, the first radio station in the United States owned and operated by Black Americans.
Really?
Yes. And a stylist, Ricky DeForest, took over the space in 2004. He already knew about the connection to Walker and the fact that it was a salon, but he did not know that it had been a radio station. So, and by the way, the woman who owned the beauty salon was, if not the, one of the first Black women millionaires.
Oh, really?
In the United States.
Ha.
Yeah. So anyway, after Forrest moved into the building, he learned about the connection to the radio station. And today it operates as a museum and event space, as well as an active hair salon. So it's still there and they're still doing it. And preserving this space is one of the many ways that Atlanteans have honored that particular area's history and its ties to the U.S. Civil Rights Movement.
You know, I was reading about a museum, I think it's in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out by one of the professors, a Black man, and he, as a child, collected racist artifacts.
Ooh.
You know, like
posters. Oh, sure, sure.
And he collected all of these, and then he went to the university and said, let's make a museum.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, and people have sent him stuff from all over the country.
Oh, I bet.
And it's just jaw-dropping.
Where is it?
It's in Michigan, I think. it's just jaw-dropping to see the things that were made were in public and being sold and
And we don't even know the half of it,
No, we don't.
You know, I lived in Tennessee for 15 years, and I saw a lot of racial things.
Yeah.
But this museum had stuff that was just amazing.
Interesting. I want to look that up. One more little note for Black History Month. Are you familiar with Heritage Radio Network?
I don't think so.
Oh, well.
Isn't that a conservative radio network?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Okay, well, tell us
because of the word heritage?
Well, yeah, and it's heritage. Well, Heritage Foundation
don't
is
know
conservative.
That. I don't know their politics.
Never mind.
But what I can tell you is that at HRN, at the historical, what is it called? I just told you what that was. Radio Network, they have so much good history on there about radio and who we are and what we did. And there's stuff on there about food and how things used to be reported. They have a newsletter that they send out, and they have a Black playlist on their site today. And it's like music we might know, music we don't know, music we might like, music we don't like, but it's there. And they're featuring Black artists. So
just for this month. So it's not a strictly Black radio.
No. And so the website is heritageradionetwork.org. And now I'm going to have to go do some research on their politics before I tout them anymore.
Well, if they're featuring Black artists this month, they can't be too conservative.
Exactly. That's what I would think.
Yeah.
That's a good bet.
Yeah, that is a good bet. So, you know, we do tidbits every now and then.
We do.
On this
and
show.
I wanted to do the one about the guys falling into a vat of chocolate. I don't know if you guys remember. I have a little song for you.
Oh.
The Smothers Brothers.
Oh, I love the Smothers Brothers. Now what?
Let's see. I can get it.
Come on. Here it comes.
I fell in a vat of chocolate. I fell in a vat of chocolate. What'd you do when you fell into the chocolate? Lolly-doo-dum, lolly-doo-dum-day. Well, I fell in a vat of chocolate. I just fell in a vat of chocolate.
Wait a minute. You just said you fell in a vat of chocolate.
I know, I fell right in this vat of chocolate.
I know, and I asked you a question. I said, what did you do when you fell in the chocolate?
I swam a lot. There was a 30-foot vat, and we just full of chocolate.
30-foot across?
No, deep. It was 30 feet deep, full of chocolate. Mm-hmm. I fell right into it. And I
Well, what happened? What did you do after you fell in?
Well, I even hate to think about it because it was
I'm
terrible
serious.
Experience.
What did you do? What did you do to get out?
Yeah, just walking down this, down by my house there, and there's a... there's this vat of chocolate over it.
Now, what did you do? There had to, first of all, there had to be a restraining rail on the vat of chocolate.
Well, I used to kind of balance on that rail. I used to walk on that rail, and someone evidently...
All right, this goes on and on and on for a while, but what he did was he yelled fire when he fell into the chocolate.
Oh.
And his brother says, why did you yell fire when you fell into the vat of chocolate? Because no one would help me if I had yelled, chocolate!
That's right. Yeah. Well, interestingly, it's interesting that he said he used to sit or balance on the rail,
yes,
on the safety rail. Well, the thing is, this happened at the chocolate factory in Pennsylvania.
Hershey?
Yes. And it was workers who were not full-time workers. This happened... February 13th,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think we had it on our show.
Yeah, not too
did you? Did you? And so anyway, the company is fined $15,000 because there were they didn't have safety equipment, and you know, they had to drain this whole billion gallon of chocolate. You know,
that's such a visual.
I know.
Where does that go?
Yeah, I know. I'm going to veer off a little bit. I'm going to take a left here. Because part of the tidbit that I wanted to talk about today was plastic. But
surgery?
No, not surgery. I wanted to tell you a story. So I have a friend who lives in Charleston, and she dropped me this little missive, and I'd like to read it to you because it's really good. So this is 2001, okay? And it's about the big giant roll of plastic wrap that you get at Costco. And she had gone there for the very first time with her dad in 2001, and he insisted on buying this giant box of plastic wrap for her. And she was like, no, my condo isn't even big enough for that. It's bigger than my kitchen. I can't handle it. Anyway, he said, come on, Joanne, it's a gift. Well, how could I refuse, she says. So upon my return, my father made busy work of finding just the right place for the big giant roll of plastic wrap. He was pleased with its placement directly on top of the fridge. Somehow, this man of 5'3 always managed to find the highest storage place for everything that was needed on a daily basis. But there it sat for all of 5 years that we lived in that condo. In 2005, we moved, and it moved with us. Brand new condo, lots of room, perfect place for that big orange and red box of plastic wrap. On the shelf in my pantry, not in clear view of everyone. Okay, so then fast forward to October of 2010. Joanne's stepdaughter Saskia is getting married, and her parents came down for what would be their final visit to Charleston. And here I quote, Joanne says, I had baked the Italian cookies for the reception. Now, the Italian cookies are like thousands of cookies. Joanne does this every year for Christmas, and they're old, old Italian recipes.
Wow.
And they're unbelievably gorgeous cookies. So this is a big source of pride in this family. And so she was making all the cookies. So she has two huge platters of cookies, and her father was watching while she was wrapping them up. She was going to wrap them up, and he'd sneak a cookie or two while he was pretending to watch her. And so she pulled out the big giant orange and red roll of plastic for the trays that were, once she was satisfied with how they looked. And she yanked at the film. I yanked at the film, and my hand snapped back. And to my surprise, all I was holding was a 2-foot piece of what we realized would be the last piece of that wrap. I nodded. Oh, no, no. Is that the roll we bought you? My dad said. I nodded. Oh, no, you've had that roll for so long. My father chimed in. I bought you that roll. That roll lasted a long time. That roll lasted longer than most marriages. Hell, you should have named that roll. It lasted longer than your first condo. Hey, weren't you driving a different car when I bought you that roll? Well, then they went on to wrap. Okay, now we're at the place of Saskia's wedding. And 3,000 feet of cook. Oh, here, wait, sorry, I skipped one. Okay, so then Saskia called, and Joanne answered the phone, and there was a long silence. And Saskia said, you mean you ran out of wrap, that big giant roll of wrap? Is Grandma sad? Are you going to miss that roll? She laughed and laughed. But here's the thing. It wasn't just 3,000 feet of plastic. There were 3,000 feet of cookies and dinners and all kinds of food and family get-togethers. My dad slammed his hand hard down on that table and stood up and said, come on, Joe, we got to go to Costco. So from there, they go on into Costco and they get the new roll. But here's what she said. Tonight, as I was preparing my husband's lunch for tomorrow, I took out the big, giant blue and yellow box, which it is now, of wrap and placed it on the counter. As I did, I swore I smelled my dad's aftershave. I shivered and looked up. In the background behind me were black and white photos of my parents looking at me as if to say, we're here with you as you prepare your family's meals, and we're still helping you because you are using that big, giant blue and yellow box of cellophane.
Wow. Gee, that wraps up a family story.
Doesn't it? I just thought it was so cute. It was so, you know, of all the things we get sentimental about, that usually isn't one.
No. In my world, plastic is not one of the things I get
know that,
sentimental
Susan.
About.
I understand that.
I get the story.
I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we wanted to, considering it's almost March.
Almost.
Talk a little bit, or maybe a lot, about the Oscars.
Woohoo!
And Susan Susan gets really excited about the movie. She's a cinephile, for sure.
I am a cinephile, and I I make it my mission every year to see all the Oscar movies, and now Eileen Wolcott is supporting my habit by showing all the Oscar movies.
Tell us who Eileen is for those who don't know.
Oh, Eileen Wolcott owns the Vashon Theater. She and her family have run it for years and do an outstanding job. And she is showing all the Oscar-nominated movies for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
How many would that be?
There's a lot. I think it's 9 or 10. Let me count here.
Yipes.
10 or 11. And it's such a variety of different movies. They're all over the place. The big favorite is Everything Everywhere All at Once. Anybody here seen that?
No, I haven't seen it.
I haven't, no.
Mm-mm. I want to see it, but I haven't
seen it. I saw it. It's, I can't even say what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's about the chaos of our lives in the internet world. And it's centered on this lovely character, a woman who is who owns a Chinese laundry and ends up having to save the world. And it's chaotically comic and outrageous and hard to keep up with. But that's one that is the favorite. We go from there to All Quiet on the Western Front.
I was going to say, that's foreign language.
Well, it was filmed in foreign language, but boy, it is so beautifully dubbed.
Is it?
I think it was German made.
Yeah, I thought that was the first movie that was foreign language that was nominated.
That may be, yeah, that may well be. And that, talk about, that's the extreme on the other end.
Isn't it, yeah.
Of World War I and the horrors very graphically depicted of the experience of what we do to people when we send them to war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read the book years ago, and there was also another movie.
There was
Ernest
an old
Borg,
movie.
Borg
yes.
Nine.
I thought there
that
was.
One I've seen. I've seen that one, but I haven't.
Who's the guy? It's John Boy.
Sorry?
Who's the actor that played John Boy on Walden's?
Richard Thomas.
Ooh, good memory.
Good,
you're right.
Good job.
Where did that come from? I have no idea.
Richard
Sometimes
Thomas.
We pull those things out of different parts of our mind.
Sometimes we do.
Mm-hmm. Then another is Avatar The Way of Water, a big blockbuster movie.
Mm-hmm.
That did either of you see that?
No.
I saw it, and I wanted to go swimming immediately afterward. The stuff that they do, the underwater sequences are just totally beguiling. They are wonderful. The story is kind of predictable, kind of ho-hum. Yeah. Certainly depicts Americans as the despoilers of everything natural. But
oh, so it's a documentary.
Yes, right. Right, right.
Yeah.
But it is gorgeous to watch. Gorgeous. I definitely wanted to go snorkeling. let's see. The Banshees of Inisherin. Now, you saw that, Linda, right?
I did.
Tell us about it.
Well, I really loved it. It's very dark. It's very black humored dark, but it is lovely. When the opening started and they show you these incredible scenes of the countryside, beautifully filmed.
In Ireland.
Ireland, yes, sorry.
Ireland outside Dublin, I guess.
Really, really beautiful. And I love the characters. I love both of these actors anyway, right? And then things started getting weird. Because I remember saying to myself, oh, I'm just going to love this movie. And then it got really hard to watch.
Yeah.
It got really hard to watch. And I think there are a lot of lessons in that one, too. I think it would be interesting to talk to a film critic or a philosopher. Like, what is this story about?
You know, I think it's about a couple of things, not the least of which is as one gets toward the end of one's life, there's an urgent need to fulfill your creative urges.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is, sometimes friendships just run out.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just get tired of people and how they go about.
Part of it, too, that I read a critic talking about how it's a statement about war as well.
War.
Yeah, because these men are at loggerheads and they both have their own belief system about what happened or what didn't happen, and nobody's able to get an answer, and so they cut off their fingers.
Self-mutilate. Self-destructive.
Yeah.
War is.
As war is. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But you just spoiled it. That was a spoiler alert.
I've got a tidbit within a tidbit.
Okay, good. What is it?
Really quickly, you said Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are three countries that celebrate Black History Month. Ireland, Netherlands, and the UK.
Is that right?
In October, and Canada and the US in February.
Oh, that's interesting.
I was so surprised.
And I always think, why did the U.S. choose the shortest month of the year?
Well, it was those birthdays because of the week.
That's right.
I thought
now
about
you
that,
know.
Too. Like, yeah, you get the short, lousy month.
Short stick, right?
Yeah.
And they have theirs in October?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good month to have it, I would think. Yeah.
Okay, other movies up for Best Picture. Elvis, the Baz Luhrmann production. Anybody
see that? Oh, I saw that, too.
And I was kind of surprised pleasantly that one is in the running for Best Picture.
I did read someone said something that, you know, stylistically it's fabulous and he's a great actor. He did really well, but that it lacked soul. It lacked Elvis's soul, you know, which,
that may be,
you know, it was a little cardboard in that regard. He was very good at the music. He was very good at the way he talked and the way his body moved. But the gravitas was missing.
Wasn't one of his problems is he wouldn't stop talking like Elvis, like after the release.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's like, okay, you get
just staying in character.
Yeah,
is that method
right.
acting?
I guess so.
Oh, dear. It's a good thing he wasn't playing a horse. let's see. Others nominated. The Fablemans. This is Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Autobiographical film. I thought it was fine. It was pretty to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that, what's her name? Michelle Williams did a great job.
Did she?
Portraying his
mother.
I
like her.
Yeah, she was a charming character. But I don't think it's a Best Picture kind of thing. I think this is a nod to Spielberg.
Probably.
Frankly.
Right.
You know,
I agree with that.
Yeah, I would too. That's part of the reason I haven't seen it is I do intend to watch it, but I haven't been eager to see it because would this be a story that any man could tell, or is this that Steven gets to tell the story because he's Steven?
Yeah, I think, well, it's the story of a boy who falls in love with filmmaking at a very early age.
Right, and it's him.
Well, but it's actually more about his mother.
Okay.
Who was a more interesting character, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to give it away, but... she was a flawed human, but not in the way that, you know, a lot of folks tell their parents stories. Oh, they're drug addicts and they go down and they're abusive, et cetera. But she was not the perfect 1950s woman.
Huh? Wow.
So, and that made it interesting, that character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the others, Tar, which is, did anybody see that one?
No.
It's about a woman... conductor who's very powerful and how power mania drives her insane and ruins her career. The interesting thing about that for me is not only the performance that Kate Blanchett delivers, but the fact that this is the kind of character that would have been a man in previous...
Oh.
So she was a conductor?
Yeah.
Like a train conductor?
Like a symphony conductor.
Maniac train conductor.
It still would have been a man. On a train, it still would have been a man.
Symphony conductor. And she's, you know, she starts out on top, man. She is the best and world-renowned, etc. And she, in very strange ways, goes down from... Very strange and also the kind of thing that a man would... The kind of mistakes a man could make in the same position. But it's about power mania. And,
interesting.
It's very interesting.
Equal opportunity, vice, I guess.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. Women are capable of violence and ugliness just as much as...
Why is it called Tar?
That's her name.
Oh, that's her name.
It's Tar with an accent on the A.
Okay.
But that's her last name.
Tar?
Top Gun Maverick, another blockbuster. Nominated for Best Picture for completely different reasons. Anybody see that one?
Mm-mm.
Saw the first one.
You guys don't go to movies, do you?
Not really. If it's not on, you know, a freebie or whatever streaming thing
I used to go to, like, every single movie that came, every movie. I don't, since I live on Vashon, it's just too difficult because it's evenings most of the time.
The Vashon Theater does show movies.
I know, but it's at night when I'm curled up.
I see. Okay, I get it. Okay. Well, Top Gun Maverick was Tom Cruise's almost single-handed effort to get people back into theaters after COVID. Mm-hmm. So he did not stream it at all.
Right.
He refused to. And it is a well-done blockbuster adventure movie. This is my favorite, and I don't know if it'll be everybody else's. It's called Triangle of Sadness.
I've read about that. I do want to see
it
that one.
It is hilarious satire that turns the whole notion of class completely and in some ways literally upside down about these people on a cruise ship and what happens when the cruise ship goes under. And, you know, it's not the Titanic, but it's hilarious and it is stunning. I doubt that it'll get Best Picture, but it's my favorite. And then the last one is Women Talking, which was showing here at the Vashon Theater until a couple days ago. And that is a kind of a reflection. Each of these, I think, in their own way is a reflection of our culture right now. But this is a group of women in a cloistered Mennonite community. And it's based on a true story. It happened in Bolivia. They were being raped and beaten and drugged, not necessarily in that order, by the men in their community. And they were not educated. They weren't even allowed to learn to read. And they finally got together and decide what they're going to do about this. And the whole thing is about really standing up to power, the courage that it takes to kind of step over your own shadow and save yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, wasn't that U.S. Mennonites that went down there because of their perceived persecution in the U.S. and set up in Bolivia?
In Bolivia. Also,
they're Americans.
Also in Belize and in Mexico.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Belize has huge Mennonite communities.
Yeah. And you're right, Chris. The Mennonites have moved around from
probably government oversight. Like, you can't do that to women, you know.
Yeah, right.
You're going to be prosecuted. So you go to, you know, maybe an impoverished country.
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't have so much government oversight. I don't know.
Yeah, they clearly picked places that are really remote,
hard
to get to. No electricity. They're not allowed to use rubber tires. They use metal tires on their buggies. They're horse buggies.
Yeah.
Well, there's even sects within that community in Pennsylvania. And some of them on their black carriages with black horses will have a triangle, like a reflective triangle. Like
I've seen that.
Yeah. So they can be on the highway.
Some won't.
They won't even do the reflective triangle.
No, they say you don't trust God to save you.
Yeah.
So you got to put this triangle up. Yeah.
Those who help themselves.
You know, talking about the Mennonite community, when I grew up in northeastern Montana, and there was a Mennonite community there, fairly large one.
Uh-huh.
And one of the girls was my age, and they had different schools, different churches, all of that. But she and I became friends anyway, because it's a small community, and you just, you know. Well, I would go to her house for dinner at night, or spend the night like girlfriends do in junior high. And her mother was this incredible cook, and she had a beautiful table laid every night. And then we would sit at the table and wait for Dad. And then Dad came, and then Dad read from the Bible, and then Dad prayed, and then Dad read the daily verse of the whatever, and then they prayed again, and then the food was cold and you could eat. I never understood it. We sat there with that gorgeous food in front of us for probably 30 minutes. And, you know, I mean, it was cold by the time we ate.
Hail to the male ego.
So, why was the Amish woman kicked out of your community?
Oh,
I don't know.
Two Mennonite. That's my dad joke for the week.
That's a good dad joke. I'm liking these dad jokes lately, actually.
Okay, so the last word on the Oscars. I mean, I could mention all the best actor nominations, etc., but I won't. Is that you can watch the Oscar Awards show at the Vashon Theater on March 12th at 4:30. Check out VashonTheater.com to find out all the details.
Is it an event like it used to be where people come up in their cars?
Not this year.
It's not going to be as big an event. They're just saying there are photo opportunities, whatever that means.
Maybe so, there's cardboard cutouts.
Maybe. Ooh. I don't know. Yeah, if you want to get dressed up, do that. I'm not.
They have a food truck.
They have a food truck and photo ops. Oh, contests and prizes for something. I don't know what. Huh? But I just want to see the award show because I don't have regular TV.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
should be fun.
You know, I have one more thing to say about the Banshees of Inisherin.
Okay.
My favorite character in that movie was Mrs. McCormick. Do you remember her? She was like the witch, that old witch woman gossip. She was a combination of town gossip and scary witch. And she made predictions. Sometimes they came true, sometimes they didn't. But her presence in that film was really big for such a minor part.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Actually, my favorite character was the donkey.
Oh, I love the donkey. Oh, you know what else? The other thing I was thinking about that movie is it is a statement about how productive we think we need to be in our world. And that constant productivity.
Yeah. Well, you haven't been in my world.
It's kind of constant productivity is a like a curse of our modern life.
Yeah.
And they're just, he was done producing his friendship thing, you know?
Well, he wanted to produce
his art. Yeah.
But you know, I think that movie is now streaming on Netflix if you haven't seen it.
I think it is too. Actually, I know it is. That's where I watched it. Can we talk a little bit about, I just find the whole Oscar thing really interesting and how it's changed through the years.
Uh-huh.
I read something yesterday about the Golden Globes and how, you know, they happened when, a couple weeks ago or something? And
yeah.
How wonderful it was to see all the beautiful gowns again and the, you know, Hollywood starlet looking beauty that was there. And that, you know, even if Hollywood isn't Hollywood the way we think of it with glamour and glitz, it is still Hollywood. And I just am curious about the culture and how it's going to be this year with regard to how it's been in the past and what sorts of changes are we going to see.
Yeah, it's interesting. Jimmy Kimmel is coming back to host it.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be his third time to host. They tried a couple years with no hosts.
I remember that too.
I don't know if they actually did it on Zoom or if they did it virtually.
I don't know what they
during
did.
During COVID.
Yeah.
Or they just plain skipped
I think,
it.
I don't know.
This
don't
is know. The 90th.
So for an awards show, Luddite like myself,
mm-hmm.
I know the Oscars are the, you know, they're the Super Bowl, I guess.
Right.
So how does like the Screen Actors Guild and the, what was the one you said? The
Golden Globes.
Golden Globes. How do they, or what is, they have different
purposes?
Well,
that's interesting. I was wrong. It's the 95th Oscar. But the Golden Globes are the
SAG.
Associated, what?
Aren't they SAG?
No, that's Screen Actors Guild.
That's Screen Actors Guild. Okay.
So that's actors who vote on all the movies.
Oh, so that's your peers.
Yes.
Oh,
right.
That's
interesting. The Golden Globes is the associate, the International Press Corps, and I'm not getting that exactly right, but it is the press.
Okay.
And then the Oscars are the Academy of Motion Pictures.
And Sciences or something.
Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do they, is this an analogous award, the BAFTAs in London or in England? UK?
Good question.
Oh, the BAFTAs. Yeah,
BAFTAs,
they happened
and then,
like last
and
week.
Khan and all, Khan's the whole movie.
Yeah.
It's not an act. You're not nominating an actor at Cannes. You're looking at whole movies.
Right, at whole movies.
Right.
In it.
That's a film festival.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know about BAFTA, but I do know that, for instance, the Golden Globes covers movies and television.
Oh, well, and Emmys is just television.
Emmys is just television.
Oh.
Screen Actors Guild, I believe, is movies, but I wouldn't swear to that.
Huh.
And then, of course, the Oscars is focused on movies.
Yeah.
And BAFTA really is like, it's English.
Right.
It's Britain.
Right.
So
I think
it's basically
homemade,
like, like our Academy Awards, except that they like to say that they're supporting lesser-known voices.
Mm.
and, you know, maybe new artists, that kind of thing. But their film awards are very similar to.
And the very first Oscar for Best Movie was?
I don't know. Oh, it had to be. I don't know. Go.
95 years ago.
Yeah, it was. It was. Gosh, I forget. But it was a World War One movie about fighter pilots, airplane guys.
Really?
In World War One.
Really?
Oh, wow. Gosh, I got it. What was the name of this?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to have to Google that.
We'll have to Google that in a minute. You know, do you guys remember in 1974, the Oscars, David Niven was the...
Oh, he was streaked.
And he was streaked.
And he was unflappable.
Totally unflappable. Yeah, totally unflappable. And he said something at the end like, I can't quote it for sure, but he said something like, can you imagine that the only quote, the only... fame you're ever gonna know is having to take your clothes off and show your shortcomings. I mean, he just said it, you know. I thought it was great.
You know, one of the tidbits from this year is that Brendan Fraser is nominated for Best Lead Actor. Do you know who he's been before?
No.
George of the Jungle.
What?
This is the guy who played George of the Jungle.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He and did. And also in
The
Mummy.
In Man and The Mummies and...
you know, he
Bedazzled?
He had to gain a ton of weight for this film.
Well, I think some of it had happened, and then he either added anyway? To it or...
Oh.
Yeah, he either added to it or they added to it prosthetically. Yeah.
Well, anybody catch
well,
the...
Well, no, I read something where he gained 60 pounds.
Ooh.
But he already was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And the movie was The Whale.
Mm-hmm.
He's been nominated in BAFTA as well for...
I hope he wins.
Well, there was a SNL skit this weekend called Hippo, and it was Woody Harrelson, and he's in prosthetics and like a morbidly obese man.
Uh-huh.
And the whole idea is they canceled the movie. He's like,
oh, what?
Why? I gained like 200 pounds.
Oh, because of that?
The skit.
I wonder why they canceled it.
That was the skit.
Oh, God.
That was the funny part.
And the other, you know, the actress
some
is like, I dyed
solar.
My hair and, you know, this. Right. Like, I gained 200 pounds.
Woody Harrelson, by the way, does a great part in the Triangle of Sadness.
Oh.
He plays this alcoholic ship captain.
Oh, he'd be good at that.
Oh, my God.
I love Woody Harrelson.
Hilarious.
What should have been an Oscar was Kingpin with Woody Harrelson and Randy Quaid.
Oh.
That came out in 96, and it revolves around an Amish community and bowling. It's a hilarious movie.
An Amish community and bowling?
And bowling.
That's
Randy
one
Quaid,
to
say
check
the name
out.
Of it again.
Kingpin.
Randy I haven't
Quaid,
seen that.
Kingpin. Randy Quaid is the Amish guy.
Well, Randy.
Randy Quaid is an Amish guy?
Yeah. But what's interesting, I was reading about the Farrelly brothers do it. You know, they do all these comedy shows.
Mm-hmm.
He said the year that came out was the Olympics. And we couldn't get a lot of advertising because the Olympics were promoted so heavily. So we didn't get a really good push on this show. He said, but today it's the most asked about movie I've ever done.
Is that
really?
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's worth checking out. I've
that is
that
worth
down.
Checking out. Do you have any sort of, Susan, do you have any kind of ideas about culture, Oscars,
well,
today?
You know... Yeah, I always have an opinion.
I know you do.
There's so many reflections here of our culture. In fact, you could probably make a poem out of all of these movies strung together. But we've got women's rights, women's oppression. We've got the horrors of war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're dealing with at least both of those things every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the other things to worry about is women's rights here in the United States.
We've got religion in the mix.
We've got domination of indigenous communities in the way of water. In addition to which, we've got that includes. Abuse of species, abuse of animals. I mean, some of the scenes in there, the abuse of whales is almost too hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
We've got nostalgia with Elvis. They also made another movie about Marilyn Monroe, which is not up for Best Picture, but Ana de Armas is nominated for Best Lead Actress for the movie Blonde about Marilyn Monroe. That you can see on Netflix.
How are these chosen, these nominees?
The best pictures? Well, the members of the Academy.
The Academy.
They just vote. Yeah.
And in fact, our own Jeff Hoyt is a member of Screen Actors Guild. Mm-hmm. And the actors and the directors who are members of those unions also vote for the Oscars.
Right.
So Jeff gets all the movies
that
have actor nominees in them, so he can make his vote.
It's a wonderful thing. I used to know somebody in SAG, and we had really a lot of fun watching the movies.
Because
you just get them, and
they're
there.
He's got a big screen TV.
Yeah, and you just get a DVD, and you get to see it before anybody else did. You know, we're getting really close to winding down, and there is something that I forgot that I wanted to talk about. And that is Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yes.
And I just would like to say, Mr. President Carter, Godspeed.
I agree.
What a wonderful life. What an example he is for all of us.
Just one of the best humans, and certainly one of the best to hold that office.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh,
as far
yes.
as integrity and honor and all that.
And do you know that he was way in his early, early career a segregationist?
No.
Oh, no. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me. He was in Georgia.
Yeah. And, you know, so he grew up and got a brain and a heart.
And he was a Navy nuke guy.
That's another, I just read about that. He was a nuclear expert.
You're right.
I think he's probably the most brilliant man we've ever had as president. And he got so, not undermined, what's the word I'm looking for? People didn't recognize him.
He's too humble.
He was too humble. He wasn't radical enough. He wasn't militant enough, if you will. He
was kind and he was honest.
And he was smart.
We
don't get a lot of smart ones in that office.
But we've had one doctorate.
Who?
That was president.
Who?
Woodrow Wilson.
Really?
MD?
No.
PhD.
PhD out of Princeton.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, only one.
Well, he must have been smart. Maybe.
Yeah, that's not a guarantee.
No, that's right. That's right. It's not. Yeah, so I think our world is going to lose a really beautiful person.
Yeah, right.
When he
but
goes.
Boy, he's given us a lot. In fact, I am fortunate to be doing some writing for Habitat for Humanity here in Seattle.
Oh, really? Yes. Very good for you.
And that is one of the best things he ever did.
Oh, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so long at that.
Yeah.
For decades.
Yeah. He did not start it, but he is the person who really made it well known.
Well, and he's
world.
Certainly the mascot. I mean, really, he really is. Somebody was talking the other day about his passing and what's going to happen, how we're going to feel. And somebody said, you know, it's just so unfair that when we look back at his presidency, what comes to most people's mind is the gas shortage and Iran.
In Iran, right.
You know, and that's only a tip of what he did when, I mean, he put solar panels on the White House.
Right.
And then old what's-his-name took him off.
Who, Trump?
No, not Trump.
Reagan.
Yeah, he took him off. So, I here's to you, Jimmy.
Really?
Yeah.
We will.
And to Billy.
Billy?
Oh, Billy Bob.
Remember his brother?
Oh, he had Billy Beer.
I've still got Billy Beer. I got a can of it somewhere in the house.
And it's probably worth some money now. It probably is. I wonder if Billy's still with us.
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too.
He didn't have quite the healthy lifestyle that his brother had.
He used his own product too
much. Yeah.
Well, folks,
I guess we're just about there.
We are just about there.
Thank you for listening, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you, Chris,
for
joining us.
Thanks for the invite. This has
been
wonderful.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.